Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm speaking to you from the borough of Queens in New York City. It is the 12th day of April, 2023. I'd like to just make a note that I do publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. And I believe these are very exciting times for this sector of gold and silver exploration companies, given the price of gold has now exceeded $2,000 and silver has recently catapulted above $25 an ounce. So things are really looking up for the precious metal sector, I believe, and now more than any time in recent past, I think is the time to buy and to look into, at least explore these exploration companies. Very great stories that I'm covering in my newsletter, and I will be telling you about one of them. We'll let our guests tell us about one of the companies that I've recently just started covering in my newsletter. Also like to encourage you to send along any questions, comments that you might have about this show to questions4taylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number four, taylor@gmail.com. My guests today, Alistair MacLeod and Michael Hopley. Michael is the president and CEO of Alpha Explorations. That's a company that I began covering in my newsletter just this last week. I've titled today's show, Triffin's Dollar is Crashing. In the 1960s, an economist, Belgian and American economist Robert Triffin, wrote about how a fiat reserve currency could lead to national wealth. You could create endless amounts of money from thin air, but it required one thing. It required that a nation would exercise and make sure that they ran major chronic trade deficits year after year that was necessary so that there would be sufficient liquidity in the global economy to allow the dollar or whatever currency was used to become the world's reserve currency. And so we did. After Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971, it seemed to work very well for quite a few decades now. The U.S. could print money out of thin air and use that money to buy up goods and services, well, mostly goods created in China and other countries that had net exports, and we had net deficits and net trade deficits. And so we have now come to the time when that may not work so well anymore, as many different countries are looking to get out of the dollar for various reasons. Alistair MacLeod will be with me to explain why the dollar is in decline and how that plays into the favor of gold. Alistair will be with me in the second segment of today's show. But right now, I'm happy to tell you that Michael Hopley, the president and CEO of Alpha Explorations, is with us. Michael is a geologist with more than 40 years of experience. He was the CEO of Sunridge Gold when he guided that company to the discovery of a major VMS deposit, a copper, zinc, and gold deposit in Eritrea. But before I say hello to Michael, let me just tell you that Alpha trades in Toronto, under the symbol ALEX. You can buy it in the U.S. under the symbol ALPXF. And the stock has about 73.7 million shares outstanding. Recently trading in the United States, or trading in U.S. dollars, I should say. It hardly trades in the U.S., but trades actively on Toronto. You can buy it in the U.S. The U.S. dollar equivalent is around 60 cents, giving the company a market cap around $44 million. Welcome, Michael, and thanks for joining me today. You have three exciting large-scale projects in Eritrea. The Aberna, it's an orogenic gold project where you've had some early success, drill results just spectacular, you know, really very spectacular drill results so early in the program. You have a gold copper porphyry project as well, and also a VMS project in Eritrea. All three of them look like they could be world-class targets for sure, but you've chosen to go with your orogenic project, the Aberna. Tell us about that. That's your flagship, and why are you putting an emphasis on that? Just give us the story on Aberna.
All right, thank you, Jay. As a junior company, we have to be careful with delegating money to projects. As you know, I think from previous discussions, that the property we have in Eritrea called Kakasha is a very large project. It's over 700 square kilometers. So it's, 30 kilometers north, south, and 30 kilometers east, west. It's a huge property. And we've established 20 different prospects on that ground, having sort of explored it from one corner to the other. And I could go on all day about the different prospects we have established there or found there. But as a junior company, we have to decide what's the priority. And the priority has come down to a burner. It's a gold-only project. And we think from a junior company point of view, it's the, I was going to use the word simple. Simple is not a good word to use in the exploration business. They're all complicated, but this is more simple than some of our other prospects, and more simple to know where we're going. And as you say, we have some spectacularly good results from recent drilling. Should I show you on screen what why we think that?
Yeah, I think that'd be very helpful if you have some pictures. They're worth a thousand words, and go ahead.
So I guess some editing will be required here, but
Yeah, no doubt about it, but go ahead.
okay. So about a burner, I wanted to give you some sense of why we're so excited about a burner. This is a map of the Aburna area. Those black dots are 100 meter squares where we took soil samples. Soil sampling, soil geochemistry is an early way of exploring for these gold deposits. And this slide is showing that we've got this anomalous gold stretching for 7.2 kilometers in a northeast southwest direction and 2 kilometers wide. So an enormous area. And what we have done to follow up on that soil sampling is to trench and channel sampling. Trench sampling, where we have to dig with a backhoe down about a meter to get to bedrock. Channel sampling, where we have essentially we're at bedrock and we're taking 1 meter interval samples through there. And you can see from this slide that we've got some really spectacular numbers just from taking rock chip samples at the surface. 45 meters of 3.7 grams per ton, 51 meters of 2.14 grams per ton, et cetera. I won't go through all of them, but you can see this was a way of taking a very large area and beginning to concentrate focus on where we should be drilling. The geochemistry was one of it, then the trench sampling and channel sampling was the next step. And this gave us actual targets to start drilling on. And this now turning to the early drill holes. Remember, we have only got results from 43 drill holes over this very large area at the moment. And you will see that we've got some spectacular results from this early drilling, particularly at this area called Hill 52. Again, we've now focused on these four areas, Hill 52, and I won't go through every one, but 20 meters is 7.7 grams per ton. 50 meters of almost 6 grams per ton, 80 meters of 5.5 grams per ton. So some very spectacular results, even though we've only drilled 43 drill holes through there. We actually started a third round of drilling 3, 4 weeks ago. So we've got another 2,500 meters of drilling already into a burner, although we don't have results of that yet, but we expect to have that later on this month.
Oh, good.
So a very large area with some very encouraging drill results. To emphasize the size potential, I would just like to show you this. One of the reasons that we are in the Arabian-Nubian Shield that we think is a very undiscovered, unexplored area is the size potential. The Sukari deposit is an enormous 17 million ton deposit in Egypt, and on the same terrain that we're on, the Arabian-Nubian Shield, and similar geology. And this, I'm not saying that we have another Sukari 17 million ounces, by the way. I'm just giving your viewers a sense of scale here. The outline of Sukari, the 17 million ounces, is that purple. So you can fit two or three Sukaris into the area that we're exploring at the moment. So that's the reasons that we are very excited about a burner.
Yeah, I would think also the fact that you've had so many really encouraging results so early on, it's either you got lucky or else you've got an enormous system here that, and you're pinpointing them with your soil samples, of course.
That's right. Yeah. So we started in with the surface sampling and soil sampling, and we got very encouraging results from that. And yes, I mean, I've got many years, decades in the business, and when you see something like this is not an everyday occurrence. This
Yeah.
is once or twice in a lifetime. These are spectacular results for this early stage.
Absolutely. Very exciting.
We have other prospects. As I say, this is a big property, and I think many junior companies would be happy to have one of these prospects, but
Absolutely.
we've got 20 of them. In particular, the Aburna porphyry gold copper discovery is particularly spectacular. When we first got the property 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, we covered every square inch of the property in soil geochemistry. And as it turns out, one of the advantages of doing that is that we had eight geologists looking through the property, going to every corner and turning over essentially every rock on the property for several months. And they came across things that nobody had documented before. And that's our own Alistair Smith of VP Exploration on the ground. And this is a very spectacular outcrop of green oxide copper that you can walk on for over 2 kilometers on the ground with some very good copper and gold values in that along that whole length of the 2 kilometers. And then our discovery hole, drilled 3 years ago, had some spectacular results. It had 108 meters of 1.24 grams per ton gold and 0.6% copper and 3.5%, not percent, but grams per ton silver, in which there was a higher grade intersection of over 2.4 grams per ton gold and 1.1% copper. So very spectacular. We've done quite a bit of exploration since and developed a much larger drill target, particularly to the southwest of where those early holes were. And that photograph is Dr. Richard Sillitoe, who we've had on the ground more than once. He is the known expert on porphyry deposits worldwide, and he's given us plenty of direction of where to go next with Anagulu.
Yeah, Michael, it's my understanding that Crescat Capital is an investor in Alpha, and it's my understanding that Quentin Henning that he was first attracted to this porphyry deposit, and that's what drew them into it. I know he's equally excited about your orogenic gold discovery as well, but Quentin was saying, I hope you really put a deep drill hole down there, swing for the fences, because he thinks this could be a home run, I guess. And I just thought I'd mention that here was the original reason that Crescat got involved, and now you've got another project that's even maybe a higher priority, but this is really something to keep an eye on as well, I think.
I mean, both Quentin and I share the love of these big porphyry gold copper or copper gold discoveries for a number of different reasons. For a junior company, sometimes these can be challenging because they're big and requires a lot of drilling. But we plan to go after this with another round of drilling later on this year, and think it has great potential in addition to Averna.
Indeed, and then you still have another one that's towards the front of your
Yeah, and
priority
just to
list.
mention, one other, in our presentation, which is online, anybody can see, of course.
Sure.
Tala Gimjur is our VMS. The Arabian Nubian Shield is known for its VMS volcanogenic massive sulfide deposits. In particular, the Bisha deposit, which was discovered by Nevsun back about 12 years ago, is a spectacularly good deposit and has become a spectacularly good mining operation for the last several years. And we are just 50 kilometers down the road from that. And the surface part of it looks like you see in the photographs here. We've done very limited drilling, just 10 holes on this at the moment, and we've found volcanogenic massive sulfide type mineralization in three or four of those holes. But it's one of those projects, without going into a lot of detail, that we need to drill more on. And with raising the money that we are at the moment, this is another project that we will be drilling in the next few months.
Yeah, it's very encouraging for sure. And I believe you've had some success with another VMS in the past in
I
your.
have indeed. I ran a company called Sunridge Gold for a number of years. We had a large project in Eritrea called the Asmara Project. And the big success on the Asmara Project was the Embradero VMS, and it's a copper, gold, zinc deposit, 80 million tons. And in the VMS world, that's huge. That's a very large deposit. We ended up selling the project to a large Chinese company in 2016, and they are currently, I believe, in construction on that project. So I have a lot of experience in Eritrea, along with Alistair Smith, who lives in Asmara, Eritrea, and is the heart and soul of this project from a day-to-day technical basis.
All right. Well, it's good to know you've had some background with one of these types of deposits. Anything else you on the slideshow that you need to show us?
Well, I was going to say that some of the questions, some of your viewers might have the question, why Eritrea?
Right.
And maybe I could show you a slide here from our presentation that just is the Arabian-Nubian Shield in the gray. You can see
Prolific.
that it stretches either side of the Red Sea. We think this is one of the few left underexplored terrains in the world. These are shield areas of Canada and Australia are huge in terms of mineral deposits. And we think that the Arabian-Nubian Shield of Northeast Africa and the Arabian Peninsula is very underexplored. As you can see in the slide, Saudi Arabia has the largest area in there, but on the west side of the shield, Eritrea is almost completely underlain by the Arabian-Nubian Shield. And there's a string of successes, both successes, exploration successes, but more importantly, successes in bringing them into production in Eritrea, namely the Nevsun and the Bisha deposit, now run by Zenshing, and then the Asmara project all around the city of Asmara is now being operated by Sichuan Road and Bridge, and they are, I believe, in construction at the moment after we sold it to them in 2016. So as a group, we have plenty of experience in this neck of the woods. Our VP of Advanced Projects, Scott McKeague, also was involved in the discovery of Jebel Ohia in Sudan. So that's a copper gold porphyry. So he has plenty of experience in the geology in this neck of the woods as well. So as a group, as a team, we are very comfortable operating in Eritrea. I've been through the whole gamut there, from early exploration to negotiations with the government on a joint venture arrangements and so on. So as a group, we have plenty of experience there, and we're very comfortable with it. The rules have not changed in the last few decades, and so we like being there.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, not only do you find the deposits, but you get them into production, and that's really what it's all about. And if, I guess it, what it says to me is that whatever the government is, they're certainly in favor of mining. I imagine it's pretty important to their economy.
It's hugely important to the economy, and the Bisha deposit, of which they own 40%, is in production and has been, and looks like it will be for many years in the future.
Okay,
Okay.
well, I guess a couple of other questions. I just wanted on Arburna, your orogenic gold deposit, or let's say I think we can't call it a deposit yet, but it's certainly on its way.
Right.
Metallurgy. Any work done there yet on the metallurgy?
Actually not. This is really early in the process. We are in the process, though, of gathering samples for the first round of metallurgical test work.
Okay.
Our indications are that there's going to be no problem because the gold is associated with pyrite, and which is fairly typical for these orogenic gold deposits. And typically, that doesn't give the metallurgy, the recovery of the gold, any issues. But we haven't Can't say that definitely this until we have the test done that'll be done over the next few weeks and months.
And then with regard to drill plans, have you laid out exactly where you're going to drill this year as on the on your orogenic gold project?
Well, it's a little bit of a dynamic plan, but yes, we want to drill at least 15,000 meters out of Burna. That has been subject to financing, whether we do all of that or not. It looks like we've been successful with the financing, so I think we will do all, if maybe more than that, at a Burna. But yes, we've got maybe I would say half of that planned out. And the rest is dynamic because waiting on results. As we get results in, we switch holes around and move things slightly based on our understanding of the
Yeah,
geology.
so you have results coming yet. How many drill holes left?
Well, we've got 43 drilled currently, but there's another 20, 25 holes in the pipeline at the moment. That we expect to start getting results from those later on this month.
Well, I guess that's I like to sort of round out my discussions with CEOs of these companies asking what drivers, share price potential catalysts might be out there that people should be watching. And I guess that we could start with the remaining drill results from last year's program. And then going forward, I guess it's just watch for drill results.
That's exactly right. And we have got more investor relations type of programs going on at the moment, PR programs, because we've done a great job, I think, in exploration over the last little month. We have not done a particularly good job in getting the word out there. And a lot of people come across Alpha and say, well, we've never heard of you before, but your results are very spectacular. So we want to correct that. But so most of the money we raised have gone into the ground, which is typically what I like being a geologist. But we are bound to do a much better investor relations program over the next few weeks. And I think we'll have plenty to talk about too.
Well, Michael, that just leads me to remark that there are not that many retail shares out there. I think it's pretty tightly held. The founder of the company did a lot of financing, and a lot of work went into the ground before you went public. So people that are buying into the shares are buying in now at with a lot of work already done, a lot of value. I would argue value added, given the results that you're having early on with three major potential world-class projects. I mean, we don't know yet, obviously early days, but three very looking projects that have the scale. And we got to have scale in this business, don't we? I mean, you can't make money on little tiny deposits.
Right. Yeah, and that's why I remarked earlier that I think many junior companies would be happy to have one of our 20 prospects, but we've got three that I've mentioned, but others I could mention that some of which I think are pretty spectacular. But as we are raising money, we will move certainly a burn on an Anagulu and others, but maybe other of the prospects will be moved along in time.
Well, I have an idea if people start to wake up to your story, your share price is going to be higher and you're going to be able to raise money more efficiently and start hitting on some of these other projects as well. Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. This is a great story, and I'm really glad that you came on my show to talk about it because I think people are going to make a lot of money with this story. No guarantees ever in this business, but with gold heading higher and precious metals looking particularly strong right now, I think it bodes very well. So thank you very much, Michael, for being with
And
us.
thank you, Jay. Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet.